5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen of the AFN, this is the White House in Washington calling. I present the President of the United States.
I appreciate this opportunity to extend my greetings and best wishes to the Convention of the Alaska Federation of Natives. I want you to be among the first to know that I have just signed the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act. This is a milestone in Alaska's history.
The corporate whale, ANCSA, the first 10 years.
The Reverend Merkulieff from St. George Island.
This land of Alaska, which thou gave to our ancestors who had come and gone before us, is now being handed to us a second time by the act of the United States Congress and our untiring efforts. A second chance is given to us by thee to be the new custodians and caretakers.
With the passage of the Alaska Native Land Claim Settlement Act on December 18, 1971, Alaska's nearly 52,000 Indians, Eskimos, and Aleuts were to become custodians of 44 million acres of land and extinguish all Aboriginal claims to the rest of the state. A state with approximately 375 million acres all told. But those 44 million acres in fee simple title, one-ninth of all lands in the state, represents more land than is held in trust for all other American Indians. And the monetary compensation is nearly four times the total won by Indian tribes from the Indian Claims Commission. In the 10 years since President Nixon signed the act into law, less than one half of the land guaranteed to village and regional corporations set up to manage the land and money has been conveyed. This program is the fourth in a 10-part series, The Corporate Whale, ANCSA, the first 10 years. Agency representatives and Native corporation leaders will give their perspectives on the land's aspect of the land claim settlement.
It's the way it's always been. Dividing the mob talk between family and friends. We're sailing toward the future, we're anchored in the past. Rich in our tradition, our way.
The key to the land claims legislation was land. Nelson Ongapuk is the executive vice president of the Chilista Corporation, supervising lands and natural resource development. With 56 villages in southwest Alaska, Chilista has more than any other regional native corporation, and Ongapuk supervises an area approximately the size of the state of Washington.
Land is something that has sustained us. Land was something that was essential to the survival of our people as the very air that we breathed for survival. And it was used in that manner. Land is our lifeline, because without land, we couldn't survive.
With ANCSA, that lifeline became a legal right, a change in effect from Aboriginal title to legal title. But explaining that change from land use to land ownership was no easy task. Nelson Ongapuk.
Prior to the passage of the Land Claim Settlement Act, that land had always been considered to be the land that's owned and used by all the people in our area. With the passage of the Land Claim Settlement Act, we were now told suddenly that we would have to select and apply for specific tracts of lands within the withdrawn lands that can be formally owned by the village corporations. And it was a concept that was relatively hard to convey to our villages because for a long time the people in our area were primarily land users and used approximately 95% of the delta for subsistence and or survival purposes. Now all of a sudden they were told they couldn't own that whole land but a small portion of that land. It was a very tough battle, uphill battle. to convince them that they had to select that land.
And once selected, there were no guarantees of receipt. Dennis Tippelman of Kotzebue is the Alaska Federation of Natives, Washington, D.C. representative.
One of those big problems was that the 1959 Statehood Act gave the state of Alaska 103 million acres of land. And then the 1971 Act put a stop to the Alaska Statehood Act provisions, and in the end, maybe there were some same lands that both corporations wanted. The 71 Act kind of gave preference to the native corporations to make their selections first, and in the process created challenges, lawsuits, filing of the same lands, and so it became a complex conveyance procedure.
Bob Arnold is the Assistant State Director for Conveyance Management of the Department of the Interior's Bureau of Land Management. For the past 3 years, he has been overseeing the conveyance of lands to native corporations and to the state of Alaska.
Of the 40 million acres, 22 million acres of surface estate were to go to village corporations. The 22 million acres of subsurface estate would go to the 12 regional corporations in Alaska. An additional 16 million acres would go to six regional corporations, which claimed large areas of land, but whose population or enrollments to village corporations were low. Another 2 million acres would go under what we call miscellaneous grants provision to native groups, to native corporations in Juneau, Kenai, Sitka, and Kodiak, to persons who applied for allotments before the Native Allotment Act was revoked by the Claims Act, for cemetery sites and historic places, and for principal places of residence. Any part of that 2 million acres that did not go for these stated purposes would be distributed on the basis of enrollments to the 12 regional corporations. And though that doesn't seem like a lot would be left, it's been a very important provision, particularly for Sea Alaska, which had no part of the 16 million acres slated for itself. But another provision of the Act said that village corporations on revoked reserves could choose to take full title of surface and subsurface and opt out of the Act as far as the rest of its terms went, including the money payments. The villages of Elam, Savunga and Gamble on St. Lawrence Island, Venati and Arctic Village, which make up the Venati Reservation or Reserve, the people of Tetlin with the Tetlin Reserve. These, plus Klukwan, voted to take the reserve. Together, collectively, the aggregate acreage involved is 3.7 million acres, roughly. There was no place within the 40 million that the 3.7 million acres could come. As a result, the new total is 43.7 million acres. There are three principal streams of activity that must be accomplished. One is determination of which waterways are navigable before we convey to native corporations. A second stream of activity is easement identification. This is one of the things that makes the process of conveyance very, very slow, because there are opportunities for public nomination and public comment throughout. Now, that third stream of activity is the adjudication task. If the Land Claims Act had passed in 1868 instead of 1971, adjudication would be easy because, ignoring Indian title, it was all public domain. In the 100 years plus, 104 years, between the purchase of Alaska from Russia and the passage of the Act, however, lots of persons and organizations and government entities obtained rights or interests of one kind or another in the land. Homesteads, T&M sites, native allotments, rights of way, government installations, all of these have to be examined and adjudicated so that we can convey only what we own. So these three streams of activity put us at the edge of conveyancing. At that point, we prepare and furnish to the village and regional corporation affected a draft document, the draft title document. We called it a draft decision, We mail that to the village and offer to explain it and have their comments, whatever they are, before we publish. Because once we publish the decision, the only recourse for the corporation is to appeal that to the Alaska Native Claims Appeals Board. This takes time and money, and it really takes a lot of time.
Of course, charges have been levied that it's BLM that takes lots of time. So much time that Arnold predicts that all the land won't be conveyed for quite a while. His target is to convey 86% of the land by 1986.
I wonder why they used the words immediately convey if they knew anything about title transfer.
In the quiet, silent morning, on the first great white dawn, when the people walked on the frozen sea to a land of endless living, walk with me.
What happens when the public has been using land that now belongs to a Native corporation? That question has been posed in Juneau, in a conflict between Gold Belt, the Juneau-based urban Native corporation, on one side, and the Bureau of Land Management on the other. Part of Gold Belt's land entitlement under the Native Claims Settlement Act is roughly 3,000 acres around Echo Cove, a sheltered inlet about 40 miles north of Juneau at the far end of the Dead End Highway. Echo Cove is a popular spot for fishermen and boaters, and it provides safe access to Berners Bay just north of Echo Cove. The BLM issued an easement to assure continued public access to Echo Cove across Gold Belt lands. That easement is a typical move by the BLM under its duty to guarantee access to public lands. Echo Cove itself remains in the public domain. But Gold Belt objects to that easement on grounds that a proposed boat launch facility envisioned by the borough and the Forest Service would be incompatible with Gold Belt's own future plans for residential development there. Gold Belt took its challenge of the easement to the Alaska Native Claims Appeals Board, which referred it to a hearing before a federal administrative law judge in early November.
Judy Brady is the administrative law judge of the Alaska Native Claims Appeal Board.
The kinds of cases we have dealt with are exactly the kinds of cases that the leadership of the Native regions and the state anticipated way back in 1971. They have to do with navigability of waterways, they have to do with easements, they have to do with the whole category of interest called valid existing rights. The Settlement Act started fencing off some land, and everybody started jumping up and down saying, hey, wait a minute, that's my land. And when people say, hey, wait a minute, that's my land, they come to us.
The Alaska Native Claims Appeal Board, ANCAB, has heard around 700 appeals in its 7 years of existence, a relatively small number given the quantity of land involved. The appeals have come from a mix of various sources, individuals, municipalities, and especially corporations in the state. With the passage of the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, also called ANILCA, the Alaska Lands Bill, and D2, there should be fewer cases for the Appeals Board. ANILCA is the second set of amendments to the Act, the first occurring in 1976. ANILCA, passed in December 1980, is a more than 150-page document with 49 amendments to the claim settlement, and those amendments, designed to strengthen and clarify the Act, are collectively about twice as long as the entire Act itself. Senator Ted Stevens, one of the prime movers for the claim settlement, was also instrumental in moving the D2 bill.
There were just changed circumstances in the Alaska Lands Act amendments to the Native Land Claims Settlement Act really took into account the passage of time and the impediments that had been discovered through that period of time to carrying out the original settlement.
Unlike stock in Native corporations, which cannot be sold until 1991, land, once it has been conveyed, can be sold, leased, or transferred to people within the corporation or to outsiders. There are no restrictions, as there are, at least to some extent, on stock. Emil Noddy, the first person to serve as president of the Alaska Federation of Natives and now president emeritus, hopes that people will hang on to the land.
In the long run, the future of the people is tied to the land, ownership of the land.
You've been listening to The Corporate Whale, ANCSA, the first 10 years, the fourth program in a 10-part series written and produced by Karen Michelle McPherson with technical assistance from Phil Falkowski. Funding was provided by KUAC sponsors and the Alaska Native Human Resources Development Program of the Cooperative Extension Service of the University of Alaska. Special thanks to Tim Frakis, Patty Ginsburg, and musicians Herbie Vent, Buddy Tabor, and the Bethel Dancers. Cassette copies of this program are available for $5 from Educational Media Services, Starroot Box 20155, Fairbanks, Alaska 99701.